Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the Internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. And welcome to Roaring Truth. I know a lot of you are anxious to hear Jim Fetz's opinions on so many stories out there. But remember, we've got an hour. Jim's got his own show that you can also tune into. You need to support the few people that you see here on my site who I believe are 100% legitimate and worthy of your support. And as I've always said all these years, don't just pay attention to who I have on my show. Pay attention to the people I never have on my show. Okay? Take that clue. Anyway, it's great to have Jim back with me. God, Jim, it feels like we haven't talked in a year, as usual.
I know. How much has been going on, Maria?
I know. It's so crazy. And for people that don't know, I want to give you Jim's blog spot so you can tune into that. It's jamesfetzer.blogspot.com. I have a live link here, especially on his excellent work on the Charleston church shooting, which we haven't even got a chance to talk about. By the time we get to these stories, there's way too many others out there. Jim, most of all, people want to know, what's your opinion on Greece? And I'm sure you saw this morning that they finally made a deal with Iran, which I'm sure doesn't make Israel happy. And Obama already saying if Congress fights it, he's just going to veto whatever they do.
Well, the agreement with Iran is historical, even though it's all political theater, Maria. We know our own intelligence agencies concluded back in 2007 that Iran was not pursuing the development of nuclear weapons. They reaffirmed that conclusion in 2011. Even the Mossad reported to the Israeli government that Iran was not working on nuclear weapons in 2012, 3 weeks before Benjamin Netanyahu went to the United Nations and declared precisely the opposite. Moreover, and this staggers me even more than the duplicity over the non-existent nuclear weapons program, these sanctions now on Iran, previously on Iraq, are clear violations of international law, in particular the Geneva Convention of 1949, which specifically declare that no one may be punished for a crime that they did not personally commit. What we have going on here now in Iran and previously in Iraq, which, by the way, led to the death of 500,000 Iraqi infants, is therefore collective punishment, which is a war crime under the Geneva Conventions. Now, I have never heard a single anchor, commentator, what have you, on the mainstream. I've not ever read it in the New York Times, the Washington Post, or anywhere else. These two very simple points that make the whole business, this whole international conference, the theater of the absurd. They are not now, and haven't been, developing nuclear weapons, number one, and number two, the sanctions are themselves a war crime being committed by the West on Iran. So I say it's about time we straighten this out, and I'm just very impressed by the Iranians who have been so persevering, you know, through this really ridiculous situation.
Right, exactly. Well, Iran hasn't attacked another nation in hundreds of years. And I did see some scuttlebutt, you know, certainly not in our papers, saying, you know, the solution is to get Israel to get rid of their nuclear arms so it could be a nuclear-free Middle East.
That's right. That would be a great thing. But, of course, Israel doesn't even admit it has nuclear weapons. Although Obama had the Pentagon quietly release a report in February about a 1987 study mm-hmm. by the Defense Intelligence Agency revealing that already in the 1980s, Israel not only had nukes, but they had the capacity for hydrogen bombs. Now, the fact that he let that out, I thought was quite extraordinary in and of itself. If Obama would simply declare that Israel is a nuclear state, then all of the prohibitions against providing foreign aid to a nation that has nuclear weapons but has never declared them come into play. I believe not even charities would be able to make contributions to Israel under those circumstances, so that while the Israelis have been huffing and puffing, and Bibi has earned the well-deserved reputation as the Chicken Little of the Middle East, the bombs are falling, the bombs are falling. Mm. The situation actually is, in relation to Iran, I think, a bit positive. And the reason, actually, that Israel has been fighting it so hard is because they've been hoping the sanctions would remain in place, because they are crippling and greatly inhibit Iran's capacity to influence the region. That's what it's been all about. Not actually they're having nuclear weapons, which they do not, and which the Mossad and our own intelligence agencies concluded long ago, but Israel's attempt to further stem Iran's growing influence in the Middle East. That's really been right. The bottom line. And now it's going to become overwhelmingly greater.
Unless Israel, of course, wants to expand and take over that land, too. Maybe put up some condos.
It's insane, Maria, Israel. I don't know if you caught it, but there was a little clip of an interview between Hillary Clinton and Bibi Netanyahu when she most recently visited Israel, where he said he knew, he was saying to her, that he knew she had concerns about the civilian population, you know, in relation to interventions such as Gaza. But he said, we do not share those reservations. We want to maximize civilian casualties. He didn't go on to justify or explain what he meant by that, but he was emphatic about it. Hillary appeared stunned. She didn't say a word about it. It's out there. It only runs about a minute 26, but it's really quite remarkable.
Oh, well, I'm not surprised, because he is a genocidal maniac. But, you know, how can you look at Israel and this deal with Iran, nuclear weapons, and not think about the fact that Kennedy himself was against Israel getting any nuclear equipment? And, of course, when Kennedy died, Lyndon Johnson was more than happy to do whatever Israel wanted, including letting our boys be slaughtered on the USS Liberty.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Marie. In fact, I'm convinced that David Ben-Gurion, before he resigned, his last order was for the Mossad to support the assassination of JFK. They were sponsors. I've seen no evidence that they actually had a shooter, but there are some disturbing reports that I haven't been able to confirm about Israeli officials being in Dallas at the time. Now, Michael Collins Piper had this quite brilliant book called Final Judgment, talking about Israeli complicity, where he drew a distinction between the classic mafia run by the Italians, Sam Giancana, Carlos Trafficante, the other fellow, whose name will come to me, Marcello. Carlos Marcello and Santo Trafficante and Sam Giancana, as opposed to the Jewish crime syndicate headed by Meyer Lansky, where Meyer had extremely close ties to Israel. When he finally retired, he went back to Israel. You know, and he, of course, also appears to have been tied in with James Jesus Angleton, the notorious, you know, counter-espionage expert icon, if you will, with the agency. So that while, you know, the sponsors, the individuals and groups that wanted JFK out and Lyndon in included the CIA, the Joint Chiefs, the Mafia, the anti-Castro Cubans, really more for retaliation.
Right.
And because they cared about Lyndon, the Eastern establishment surrounding the Fed, because Jack had instructed the Department of the Treasury to print hundreds of millions in United States notes, which was going to undercut the Fed. What a good thing that would have been, Maria.
Well, we also, right, I agree. But, you know, we also can't leave out the fact of the Israelis in New York on September the 11th either. And the ones that were arrested and then, you know, quietly shipped back to Israel.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's, of course, true. I mean, they were principal participants in 9/11, which was brought to us by the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, most of whom were dual U.S.-Israeli citizens, and the Mossad. There's no doubt about it. There's a wonderful website for those who have any lingering skepticism entitled Israel Did 9/11, All the Proof in the World. And you'll be staggered by the extent to which Zionists were complicit from the beginning to the end, including the transfer of the World Trade Center to Larry Silverstein by the Port Authority, which was dominated by prominent Jewish businessmen. I mean, it just goes from A to Z. You know, all these Israeli assets that were involved in 9/11, the dancing Israelis, much, much more. I mean, it's fairly stunning stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that during the very first political speech I ever gave in my life, Maria, it was during a Ron Paul Freedom Rally on 15 April, tax day, 2008, in the grass in front of the Capitol, I talked about, and it would be published under the title 9/11 and the Neocon Agenda, how no dual citizen should ever be put in a policy-shaping or decision-making position, because how could we possibly know that their loyalty to the other state did not outweigh their loyalty to the United States? I think it's been a calamity that we'd have allowed all of these dual Israeli citizens into our government. But it should be a uniform policy, no dual citizen with any other nation, Israel being simply the most conspicuous example, should be put in such a position.
Well, I also think that a person who is a religious fanatic should have the same restrictions on them. You know, there was a congressman this morning who said the reason he became a congressman was to promote the work of Christ. I mean, have these people, and look at how many of these morons that have declared their run for presidency, there's at least six of them, maybe more, that said God told them to run for office.
Oh, I know.
And you see they want to put in their theocracy, you know, many, many years ago, Jim. As a matter of fact, this month starts my 16th year of doing this show on the net, Jim. And I would think it was the first year I interviewed this woman who had a great film on dominionism and the goals of these religious fanatics to actually put a biblical constitution in place in this country. And when you look at it 15 years later, these morons running for office who are killing everybody's rights, equal rights, women, men, gays, doesn't matter, and they're all on the Jesus kick, it's kind of scary.
Yes, yes, yes. Although it's, of course, the case that people can do the right thing for the wrong reason. In other words, if this actually motivates them to promote public welfare, to do good, to advance the interests of the American people, then I won't fault them for having beliefs that I do not share. But I certainly appreciate why you offer that as an extension of the principle that I was enunciating, and where it appears that the Obama administration has been going through the highest ranks of the American military and eliminating as many as 300 or more general admiral rank officers who were not willing to support operations like Jade Helm. This terrifies me, Maria, because it really means that the highest ranks of the military have already been pruned to people who believe in the Constitution and want to promote the welfare of the people.
Well, you know, Jade Helm starts tomorrow, and there's no press allowed. Nobody embedded with them, no press allowed. So I told my listeners yesterday, you've got to be the press. If you're in a state where Jade Helm is happening, you've got to report on it. You've got to take pictures.
Good. So, yeah, cell phones and their cameras are really a threat to Jade Helm. We had a woman in Florida, in Fort Lauderdale, as I recall, who took a photograph of Jade Helm troops rounding up a group of detainees. And when they saw her, an officer took her phone away from her, threw it on the ground, and crushed it, which, of course, was a violation. That's her private property. You have no right to do that. And when he discovered that other civilians were photographing him taking her cell phone and destroying it, they abandoned ship. They let the detainees go and return to their barracks. I mean, it's just embarrassing. so much is going on here. It's so profoundly disturbing, Maria. They've also now just converted to the military to 40 caliber hollow point ammunition for handguns.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, we had observed that DHS had acquired 2 billion rounds of 40 caliber hollow point ammo, which was bizarre in the extreme, where I pointed out again and again and again that that's not even permissible in combat under the Hague Convention of 1899, because it's a form of ammunition that expands on impact, is designed to maim and kill people, not simply to pass through their bodies like standard copper jacketed pointed military ammunition to take them out of combat. This is really a very destructive ammunition, which is why it was forbidden under the Hague Convention. Would you believe, when they make this announcement that they're making the transition, they specifically observe that the United States was not a signatory to the Hague Convention? I mean, it's just stunning, Maria. Absolutely,
I know.
Stunning.
I know, but you know, when you think about that cell phone story, I think about Boston, where, you know, they had the kill switch and they can just shut everybody's phones off. And if they can shut off your phone's not going to take pictures either. So it's time to bring out the old Canon 35 millimeters, folks.
Yeah. There are excellent cameras around. Canon's one of the best. Nikon, there are several makes.
Yeah, I still have my regular cameras because I don't trust that one day they're not going to take away all our digital equipment.
Yes. And you know, it's stunning that we have 300 FEMA camps all over the country. I mean, what in God's name were they constructed for in the first place? They should never have been erected. It's stunning that the Pentagon conducted a survey in 2012 of the American Armed Forces to determine what percentage of the military would be willing to fire on the American people, and discovered 70% of the National Guard would not, 90% of the Marine Corps would not, but 75% of the Air Force would. But I say, what in God's name are they doing even conducting such a survey, Maria?
Right. Well, because they're testing the waters. What else could it be?
I mean, you make the impeccable point that they're keeping reporters from covering Jade Helm. Well, what do they have that they want to conceal from the American public? There's probably never been any remotely comparable military operation within the United States to alarm the American people. We know about their drills on, you know, at Camp Pendleton or Camp Lejeune or wherever. They're always locations for training ops. They don't need to be going into American cities. And the idea that they're going into American cities to train for infiltrations abroad is simply absurd. You train in terrain that resembles where you're going to conduct your op. They are in American cities. That's where they're going to conduct their op. Don't be fooled by it. And we have a soldier trained in Jade Helm saying that they're going after guns and excess food. They identify as a food hoarder, believe it or not. Anyone who has a food supply in excess of 7 days. Now, how they could even know, you know, what a person is doing with their stock of canned goods or whatever is beyond me. But there's obviously nothing under the law that justifies precluding an American citizen from having more than a 7-day supply of food. And so far as I know, the Second Amendment is still in place. They're not entitled to go into your home and take your weapons either.
Right.
But I say, you know, my bottom line, Maria, is that when they come for our guns, the time has come to use them.
I agree. And, you know, you say, how would they know what you have in your house? Surely you've seen the new equipment the police have where they can see basically right through the walls of your house, see everything that's going on. Like that van that goes through the street and just, you know, kind of, it looks like night vision glasses. They can just see, you know, who's in the house, if somebody's breathing, you know, what's what. So, you know, a lot of people don't pay attention. And when I post these stories, I think people think I'm making it up. And let's not forget, the Supreme Court said the cops can enter your house without a warrant. But they're entering our house with all their spyware anyway. Wait till the drones start flying en masse.
I know. It's appalling. And I'm very, very troubled when you have someone like this new nominee to be the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and he's a Marine Corps general reporting that he thinks that the greatest threats to American national security are Russia, China, North Korea, and ISIS, Maria.
Right.
I mean, even though the Pentagon itself acknowledges that Russia, China, and North Korea are making no aggressive acts toward the United States, and that leaves ISIS. And as you well know, ISIS is a concoction of the United States. We have proof after proof. I just published an article entitled Top 10 Reasons We Know That ISIS was made in the USA. Everyone wants to check that out.
Mm-hmm.
And we have photographs of members of ISIS sporting U.S. Army tattoos, Maria. We have at least a half a dozen of them. And now, believe it or not, Jim Stone has come into the possession of video taken in a Hollywood studio filming an ISIS beheading scene. I mean, how bad is that?
Oh, yeah. I've seen a lot of that, and I know that Art Olivier had taken those apart. But I also know that he started getting a lot of pressure from the government now. And that's the way they work, you know. If you're out there telling the truth or doing something, they're going to come pay you a visit and make your life hell. Just like in that movie, V for Vendetta.
Well, it's absurd. We even have the 2012 Defense Intelligence Agency document explaining that the West is going to facilitate the rise of the Islamic State in order to isolate the Syrian regime, which was obtained by Judicial Watch already on Monday, May 18th of... 2015. I mean, this document has just come into the public domain.
Right.
It shows that all the claims about ISIS as a terrorist organization are ridiculous. In fact, the United States, Jordan, and other countries refused when Syria requested the United Nations to declare ISIS a terrorist entity. They refused to declare it a terrorist entity. How bad is that, Maria?
Right, and well, Obama...
camouflage of running bombing on ISIS to actually take out the infrastructure of Syria. One of the most recent articles about our conducting a bombing raid showed they took out 16 bridges. Well, those bridges have nothing to do with ISIS. Those bridges are part and parcel of the infrastructure of Syria. So the whole thing is simply hypocritical in the extreme. I find it completely disgusting, Maria. Completely disgusting.
I agree. Well, Obama slipped this week, and actually, I guess he went off his teleprompter and said that we support ISIS, you know. So how much clearer does it need to be? You know, I looked at ISIS the first time, and my thought was, you know, Israeli Secret Intelligence Agency. And then there's a building in Washington, D.C., I think it's the Reagan building, that's also called ISIS. Which is some other, you know, spy center. But, you know, Americans, you know, throw any weird word at them and they buy it. And that's the way the media has them trained.
And the greatest hypocrite in the U.S. Senate is John McCain, who's been to Syria. He's posed in photographs with the leaders of ISIS, the top dog having been identified as a Mossad agent, and where he's been cited in recent editorials attacking Obama's pseudo-war on Islamic State, explaining why it won't work, when, in fact, he is known for his support for ISIS. It's referred to in Washington, D.C. as John McCain's army, and would you believe that a photograph that led to the discovery of this video was hacked from one of John McCain's staffers' files?
Not surprised. Before we talk about Greece, I got to tell you, I said, okay, who's going to be better to ask this question to than Jim Fetzer? What do you think about Scott Walker announcing his presidency and doing it on a Friday?
Well, I watched the whole presentation. He actually gave his speech yesterday. He let it out that he was going to declare Friday, but he actually made his announcement yesterday. And I was listening. Every single line of what he said was something he'd been putting in place since he became governor. He wants to claim he's the only governor who's actually reduced property taxes. What people don't know is you've reduced property taxes by like a dollar a year, Maria.
Oh.
He's done this just to have the justification to say he's reduced property taxes. And while he's reduced property taxes by a dollar a year, he's taken $800 billion out of public school funding. He rejected a federal proposal to contribute $800 million to high-speed rail between Milwaukee and Madison. He has weakened rules to allow polluters to do more damage to the environment here. It goes on and on. But I think there's a crucial weakness in his campaign, Maria, that's going to be his undoing, which is this. When Scott Walker prevailed in his reelection bid against Mary Burke, I was very, very troubled. I know almost no one who has a positive opinion of Scott Walker. Mm-hmm. Mary Burke had run a very good, not flawless, but very good campaign. She brought in Michelle twice, Brock once, even the big dog, Bill Clinton. There was an historic turnout from voters here in the state. Now, you and I both know historic turnouts accompany Democratic victories.
Right.
In Milwaukee County, however, the bastion of Democratic support in this state, the larger the turnout, the more people who voted, the greater the percentage of the vote that went to Scott Walker. That was clearly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I elicited the assistance of a man by the name of Richard Charnin, a brilliant statistician who has written the book about the theft of elections using voting machines. You can find it on Amazon.com. And he did a study here that demonstrates statistically that election was stolen using electronic voting machines. He even went back to the recall election where I was among the hundreds of thousands who went down to the state capitol because we were so incensed by Walker's abusive treatment of the unions, where he was modeling himself very self-consciously after Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
That election also was stolen. So, his great success as being the champion able to defeat the Democrats and the power of unions were stolen elections. It wasn't honest. In fact, I'm convinced these days if Republicans don't lie, cheat, and steal, they aren't going to win any elections at all, because they represent an increasingly shrinking percentage of the population. I was actually on a local talk show show this morning right here in Madison and brought up that I think that Scott Walker is a paper tiger because he looks as though he has this impressive resume, but when you get into it, you find it's all a charade, and that I am quite confident that with those 15 different candidates, someone's going to pick up on the fact that this has been exposed because Richard Charnin and I published an article about it entitled Voter Fraud versus Election Theft, Scott Walker's Wisconsin Reelection. Mm-hmm. And I say, who's going to be so dumb that they won't take him out over this because the evidence is overwhelming.
Right. Well, listen, we've had stolen elections in this country since, we can go all the way back to Lyndon Johnson, probably past him too. So when people say to me, with Congress with such a low approval rate, how do they keep getting reelected? The answer is simple. They're not getting reelected. Our votes have nothing to do with it. Jim, I started this show in July of 2000 because Bush was running for president. When he stole the election, the biggest in-your-face stolen election ever, with the Supreme Court deciding who won, I thought that would be the biggest story I would ever cover. And I had, I'm trying to think of his last name, Cliff Curtis, who testified about the voting machines and the switching of the votes in court. Greg Palast, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. I have Vince Bugliosi on with his book on the stolen election.
Right.
People have to understand, I hate to say it, Jim, our votes mean nothing. It's a total waste of time to vote. I will vote in my local town and my local elections with the hope that maybe these votes actually are counted. But when you look at Scott Walker, who's been bankrolled by the Koch brothers, they bankrolled him so far through every charge anybody's thrown against him. You know that's how he stole that re-election. Money talks, yeah. Bullshit walks. That's what my mother used to say. And she always used to add, start walking at the end of it. Maybe he's got the right name, Scott Walker. Bullshit walks. Bullshit Walker.
Which I've been told makes him also a cousin of the Bush family. You know, W, his middle name was Walker. And I have been told by a source I regard as reliable that he's actually a cousin to the Bush family, so you know that there's another tie-in. Mm. Obviously, they're going to be promoting Jeb, and the question becomes whether Jeb has too much baggage or not. But they can force these things forward regardless. I will say this too: whenever I'm asked about what to do to regain control of our democracy, the first point I make is get rid of electronic voting machines. The second point I make is get rid of gerrymandered districts. The third point is get all that big money, private money, out of federal elections. They should be purely financed by the public. Now, in this state of Wisconsin, the legislature, which is strongly Republican, has been going bananas. They've even introduced a 20-week, you know, limit on abortions. I mean, when there's no justification for it whatsoever, and they're taking all these other actions with impunity. They tried to gut the open records laws here in Wisconsin that had been such an historic part of the political tradition here, created an outrage on both sides of the aisle. They went after what's called the Wisconsin idea that the University of Wisconsin should be dedicated to discovering the truth. Would you believe they went after the Wisconsin idea that the University of Wisconsin should be devoted to discovering the truth, Maria? That's how bad, that's how absurd it's got here in Wisconsin.
I know, and yet, you know, everybody's posting these facts about him and what he's done to your state and said, you know, make no mistake about it, it's what he plans to do to the whole country.
Yeah.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, they don't have one decent candidate running outside of Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders, I know. Now, I have some kind thoughts about Rand Paul because he's such a brilliant guy and he has tried to defeat many of these measures that are so harmful, including, for example, the Patriot Act. So Bernie Sanders and Rand Paul are the two candidates I find most interesting for different reasons. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the chances that either of them is going to prevail are absolutely up in the air. Bernie, obviously, even being a longer shot than Rand Paul.
Well, Bernie, at least Bernie's getting the important issues out and pretty much pistol whipping everyone in the opposition with the truth.
Actually, he reminds me of the old Ron Paul, you know, who won one caucus, one primary after another, but they, you know, he won one debate after another. He went up there with all these people, seven or eight, you know, clowns, and he'd be the one who time after time after time came across with the clear, crisp, appropriate, pointed answers. I think Bernie is responding to the people's desire for authenticity, the people's desire for somebody who cares about them. The people's desire for a politician who hasn't sold out to the big money interests. Bernie Sanders is precisely that guy.
Absolutely. And I said it years ago on the show, no one who has a net value or net worth of more than $500,000 should be allowed to run for president or Congress because they can't relate to the regular Americans. You know, we have taxation without representation. I think Bernie Sanders is worth $300,000.
Remember how, you know, George H.W. Bush eventually wound up in a grocery store and was dumbfounded to see they had electronic scanners?
Right, or for his
wife. He was so totally out of touch.
What about his wife who didn't know that they'd deliver pizza? She thought it was so quaint. You know, these people.
Barbara Bush?
Yeah, Barbara Reptilian Face Bush.
She just thought. She didn't
know that. No, oh, look how cute they deliver pizza. And what about her saying no more Bush is running, and now all of a sudden it's okay for Jeb to be running?
Well, I think that's going to come back to haunt her. They're going to find that in a whole lot of political commercials down the road, I think, Barbara Bush saying that.
Right.
She was wise to say it. You know, she thought it would be nice to have an election where neither a Bush nor a Clinton was on the ticket. Those were good words from her.
Yeah, but I'm trying to remember how many years it's been where there hasn't been a Bush-Clinton on a ticket.
I know. It goes back and back and back.
And they were worried about a Kennedy dynasty. Jim, we're going to take a short break. Hold on. We'll be right back.
Wow. One solid hour of commercial-free information thanks to you. The person who wants truth has the integrity and understanding to support it with your donation and subscription. Maria believes people can handle the truth and delivers it tirelessly with those with ears to listen. 14 years on the net. Won't you take a moment right now to commit to a subscription of your choice at www.maria.net. That's M-E-R-I-A.net. Over 1,100 hours of pure education all in one place, 24/7 and all downloadable. Knowledge is power. Sharing that knowledge is wisdom. Together we can change the world and create real hope. Now let's get back to the Maria Heller Show.
Okay, welcome back to Roaring Truth with my co-host Jim Fetzer. Jim, before the break, I mean, we've talked about everything, but I do want to squeeze in. I look at Greece and I think of all the distraction here, so Obama could flip through the TPP as quick as possible. The Republicans, of course, gave him what he wanted. How long before what happened in Greece is happening in every city in America?
Well, not long, I think, Maria. But Greece should not have kowtowed to the European Union. They should have stuck with their defiant vote. They should get out of the EU, which may bring about its collapse. I mean, the NAFTA here was a precursor of a North American Union. I have been told that there are still secret passages in NAFTA that create this one humongous merge of Mexico, the United States, and Canada, and that this is the reason why Obama has not been protecting the borders, because there's an agreement there that those borders are to become meaningless. This is all terrible. The idea of these sanctuary cities where, you know, immigration laws are not enforced, that is bizarre to me, just bizarre to me, Maria. And of course, you living in a state so strongly affected by the influx of Mexicans are all the more sensitive and aware about these issues. My opinion is that Greece should have not knuckled under. Greece should have disavowed their indebtedness. Greece should have followed the example of Iceland. Iceland jailed the bankers instead of buckle under to them. Iceland is doing quite well, thank you. Greece is now being put back into a harness. It may or may not work out, but it would be better for Greece if they simply abandoned the European Union. They could join BRICS, Russia, Brazil, China, India, South Africa, have created an alternative financial system worldwide. They would be the proper allies for Greece in terms of recovery. Let the European Union collapse on its own. The artificial constraints imposed by the bankers through compound interest has weakened virtually every nation in the world where they have held sway. And they have been very upset with those nations in the Middle East, like Libya, like Iraq, like Iran, like Syria, that haven't buckled under, which is also why, in addition to dismantling the modern Arab states that have served as a counterbalance to Israeli domination of the Middle East, all of these events are taking place. It's a disgrace. Greece is the birthplace of Western civilization, of philosophy, and of science. I mean, Greece has made some of the most magnificent contributions to culture in world history. And it's a bloody, bloody shame that Greece should be subjected to these kinds of punitive assaults by international bankers who only care about their own profit margin, could care less about the welfare of the people or the interest or what would be best for any nation, including that magnificent one itself.
Well, what they're doing now is going in and basically taking over everything. Their ports, their airports, they're privatizing everything. It's like a garage sale. And, the people of Greece voted this down. but their leaders would stand to lose, and they're all very wealthy. I had the figures on my show yesterday. They would stand to lose a whole lot of money if all of a sudden among the millions they have in euros gets turned into some form of drachma again.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's always the top 1%, which the world would be better off without.
I agree. And maybe the world will wake up. I mean, you know, it seems to me the model here is the French Revolution, where, you know, Marie Antoinette's offhand observation, when told that the people were starving, that they had no bread,
right.
Well then, let them eat cake, reflected the arrogance and condescension of the rich and powerful who could care less about the rest of us. I say, if push comes to shove, their interests do not outweigh those of the people. And I think the French Revolution represents a model that the entire world ought to contemplate.
Well, you know, if you look at the United States, you look at cities like Detroit, you know, I get different articles every day of different cities cutting people's pensions, taking away retirees' health insurance that they worked the job 30, 40 years for, cutting their pensions, reducing pensions. We're doing the same thing here, except, like I said on my show yesterday, they just boil the frog slower in the United States.
Yes. I think that's right. The American people are very unhistorical. They're non-reflective. They don't really, most Americans have the ability to sort things out. They believe whatever they're told on the mainstream media. If they hear it on television, they believe it to be true regardless. It may be impossible, in fact, what they're being told by violating laws of nature. But they will believe it. They will believe it anyway, notwithstanding. They simply don't have the critical reasoning ability to sort these things out.
Absolutely. Well, it's not like critical thinking's taught in any of our schools. Anyway, one of the big breakout stories, I mean, there's so many I wanted to talk to you about. Donald Trump last week calling all immigrants rapists and thieves, which didn't sit too well in the Hispanic community. And then all of a sudden, El Chapo escapes from prison, this notorious big-time drug dealer. He can't be any bigger than the CIA, was my first thought. And he is supposedly threatening Donald Trump for what he said. Donald Trump immediately called the FBI for protection. Is this all just theater? I mean, is Donald Trump that stupid? Is he a stalking horse? Is he just a total idiot? And does he deserve El Chapo on his ass? I'm like, yeah, this is getting to be a good movie. Let's see if El Chapo can at least chop Donald Trump's hair off his head.
Well, when we had these two convicts, was it in a New York prison, who managed to entice a woman security official into having sex with them and assist them in escaping from a high, you know...
Yeah, Dannemora was supposed to be maximum security.
A maximum security prison, and they actually dug a tunnel?
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was absurd. If they could do that from the inside, the drug kingpin isn't going to have any trouble having somebody burrow in on his behalf. He's not going to raise his least digit to make it happen other than direct others how to do it and where to reach him. So that, you know, I'm utterly unsurprised. I mean, those two cases are really quite fascinating for comparison. Now, the idea that he would threaten Donald Trump for besmirching the reputation of Mexicans is ridiculous, in my opinion.
I know. It's like a movie. It's so staged. To me, this whole thing screams, this is staged.
Yeah.
To cover up Jade Helm kicking off tomorrow, let's get El Chapo out and let him go after El Dumpster. Donald Dump.
Yes, as a distraction, You know, there's this big Latino political organization called La Raza, and we had the head of La Raza on television saying how none of the Republican candidates would come to address them. That is bizarre, Maria.
I know.
Absolutely bizarre.
A four-day conference.
You can't write off the Latino vote. It's becoming more and more powerful.
They say they want the Hispanic vote, but not a one of the, what are they now, 16 morons? Not a one of them said they'd go to this conference where all the big leaders of, you know, all the Hispanic groups are having a conference. I know Hillary rescheduled to be there. And Bernie Sanders is going to be there.
I think the Latino vote is becoming more numerous and powerful than the black vote. I mean, you know, how can you ignore this fastest growing segment of the population?
Right.
And it's just bizarre to me. Now, Trump obviously overstated a position, but it turns out there's a lot of sentiment. It's so upset about the failure to cope with immigration, which may be rooted in NAFTA, if I'm correct, that this actually is a reflection of the North American Union coming to take shape one degree at a time, as you say, boiling the frog slowly.
Mm-hmm.
That may explain what's going on here and why it's all so bizarre.
Absolutely. You know, years ago, I did a whole series with Robert Galen Ross on the North American Union. And at that time, everybody laughed at both of us, but he was right, as usual. You know, I hate to say, but my show is probably always at least 10 or 15 years ahead of everybody else out there that calls themselves media. And we did a whole series on the North American Union. He's got so many great books out that people should have every single one of them.
He's a very smart guy, Maria, and he does a lot of diligence in his research, and he tackles very complex and controversial issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I even put out a little chat book with him years ago on the North American Union. And, you know, people don't want to hear it. You know what I'm saying? They live in la-la land. And I don't know if you saw this other story. You know, I had so much news yesterday, Jim. I mean, the show was so long. But I like to give my listeners every piece of news I've collected so they don't miss out on anything. And I don't know if you saw this, but this to me was the scariest story of the day. And it wasn't El Chapo. There was a story about a Jesus camp being put together by the evangelicals where they want 1,000 pastors to go to these camps to learn how to run for office so they can install these people in political positions to bring in their theocracy.
Wow. That is troubling, you know, an infusion of evangelical politicians. But, of course, you know, the Republican Party has been courting the evangelical right for a very, very long time.
Yeah, but, you know, they're getting smaller and smaller. Don't they get that their base is dying off?
Well, I think they do, and therefore they're resorting to the stratagems that may give them a hope and a prayer, where, of course, if we never get rid of the electronic voting machines, it doesn't matter. They're just following the maxim observed by Stalin. Mm. It doesn't matter who casts the votes. What matters is who counts them.
Right, and I don't forget who said it, but they said, I don't remember who it was, but said, if voting ever changed anything, it would be illegal. And that's the truth of it. You remember that convention we went to in Virginia?
Yeah.
Well, you know, they were talking about the stolen election and voting, votes switching. Way back then, I think it was, God, I can't remember his last name. Was it Bob McChesney that did all that work?
I think it was.
You know, I mean, these are guys I interviewed so many years ago, it's hard to remember. But, you know, when you try to tell this to people, they just don't get it, you know. Oh, our government would never do that. I'm sure you saw that story this week, finally, exposed that the United States military tested bioweapons on San Francisco in 1950.
I know, yes, that was just stunning.
Uh-huh.
It's like the Tuskegee, you know, where they allowed these black prisoners to... They claim they were treating syphilis, but they actually let it run its course to see what would happen. I mean, this
right.
is disgusting. But to go into and that was without informed consent. San Francisco is without informed consent. I mean, it just shows the totally unethical conduct of our own military. It's unbelievable. And in a major city
right.
like San Francisco.
Well, what about New York City when they released that, was it hepatitis in the subways, hepatitis C? Because they thought that it would only attack gay people. I mean, when people say to me, when I talk about 9/11, oh, our government would never kill its own people, I'm like, really? What planet have you been living on?
I know.
And who knows what their goal is now? I mean, it's mid-July, and so far the police, the domestic terrorists in blue, have killed 650 Americans this year.
How many?
650. so far this year. And remember, they don't do an accurate count. These are just from some websites who are trying to put together a count. But last year, I think it was 1,100 Americans killed by cops. Okay, you think Jade Helm's going to be any different?
I continue to be profoundly worried about Jade Helm. And here's a story Jim Mars told Jeff Rentz the other night, namely that an oil company chopper was headed toward the Walmart, in the vicinity of the Walmart in Midland, Texas, one of those that's been closed down, and they noticed a lot of police cars there. So they drove over and observed, you know, hidden behind these huge containers, just an astounding assortment of military vehicles. The next thing they knew, a military chopper was beside them, forced them down, and took from them all their cameras and their computers and other recording devices. And when they said, what are we going to tell our boss? He gave them a card and said, just call this number. I mean, that just gives a lie to anyone who still wants to believe this is just an ordinary training op.
Oh, well, you said it best months ago, and I've repeated it many times. Uh-oh. Jim? Hold on, folks.
Good.
Jim, one thing that I've repeated that you said months ago, you might have forgotten, that this can't be a drill because it's 2 months long. That makes it an occupation.
Yeah.
And that really is the truth.
Right.
It's an occupation.
I know. And there's a lot of talk about what may be going on here, including some monetary reform. One suggestion has been there's going to be the transition to the Amiro as a, you know, to parallel the Euro, which would be part and parcel of the North American Union. I mean, actually, if you thought which states might be most violently opposed to a North American Union, it's probably the Jade Helm states, as a matter of fact.
Well, where most people have weapons. You know, most people have guns. Do you know what I mean? It's not, you know, New York, nobody has guns. It's kind of interesting, but I was also reading that they're expecting, I'm looking for all the clues to try to put it all together. Right. I think mid-September, there's supposed to be some huge meteor that's supposed to hit the planet.
I actually had a guy named an expert in this area on my show last night. And he was suggesting that that's, been greatly exaggerated. He's following these things, and it was James McGinney, as I recall.
Oh, McKinney. I had him on my show quite a few times. But, you know, one thing Jim McKinney said is we don't need anything to hit the Earth. Sometimes we get, what did he call it, action from a distance.
Yes. Well, sure. In this case, you know, he has a lot of views that are unusual, but appear to be very well founded about the structure of the universe as a totality. That I really find the guy fascinating, Maria. I'm glad you have had him on because I want to have him back.
Oh yeah, I did a whole series with him before I shifted the format of my show. I probably had him on at least 8 times, you know, every month.
Wow.
But, you know, he's a very learned man. He's got a lot of books out. You know, he worked for NASA, which he calls Never a Straight Answer. That's what he said NASA stands for.
Yeah.
And, you know, a very smart man, for sure. But look, it could be anything. The bottom line is, as usual, our transparent country is not telling us anything that's going on. And they just expect people in the West are going to lay down for this. They're wrong. People in the West are crazier than anybody ever grew up with in New York.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I see it all the time. I mean, you know, people shoot their neighbors over a barking dog. And, you know, this is how the West is. So, you know, I read that they have a counter Jade Helm citizens group in Texas that's supposedly going to be watching them and see what happens.
You know, Maria, for all the harassment that's directed at the NRA, they made an observation long ago that really rings true, namely, when guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns. Does anyone think that criminals are going to give up their guns? I mean, it's ludicrous.
I know, it's really ridiculous.
Away from law-abiding citizens to leave the criminals in charge. I suppose that we have some kind of calamity befall this country. We've all given up our guns, and a biker gang comes into town, starts molesting all the women and stealing from all, looting from all the stores, and we're going to be helpless to do it because some numbnut like Barack Obama took away our guns.
Right.
I say never, 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 never.
Right. Well, think about Katrina. The first thing they did was disarm the people when they needed their weapons the most. And people need to remember that, okay? And that's recent history. We're not talking about Abraham Lincoln here. Anyway, Jim, our time is up. Thanks so much for joining me today. I can't wait to see what happens between now and next month. I can't even project into the election. We got to take it 1 month at a time.
Wonderful, Maria. My great pleasure. Wonderful to be here with you.
Always. You take care, Jim. We'll talk soon.
Got it.
Bye. JamesFetzer.blogspot.com. Check it out. His work is prolific. Think what you want to think. If you want to believe, go right ahead and believe. But I always, listen, my motto has always been expectations lead to disappointment. And if you don't expect anything good when something good happens, it's a wonderfully pleasant surprise. Anyway, I'll see you guys on Thursday when I'm back with news of Planet of the Apes. Thanks for supporting the show.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.